The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Things that cause sin will inevitably occur, but woe to the one through whom they occur. It would be better for him if a millstone were put around his neck and he be thrown into the sea than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he wrongs you 7 times in one day and returns to you 7 times saying, 'I am sorry,' you should forgive him." And the apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Oh, that was weak. We're going to do better. Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Wonderful. And welcome, welcome to everybody. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And Jesus replied, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted into the sea,' and it would obey you." Whenever Jesus says anything cryptic like that, it's always very, very deep. Very deep. And your little priest is just not going to get to the bottom of it in one little Monday afternoon homily. All we're going to do today, we're going to take just one little aspect of what Jesus means when he says that. The apostles say to the Lord, "Increase our faith." If you're the kind of person that shows up to Mass on a Monday afternoon, or if you're the kind of person who listens to priests' homilies on podcasts, you can definitely relate to this petition, "Increase our faith." Now listen to Jesus' answer. If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you'd tell this tree to go be planted in the sea and it would obey you. As if Jesus is saying, and he is, in fact, this is part of what he's saying, if you want to increase your faith, begin by practicing the faith that you already have. Now, what's faith? Faith is a virtue. It is an infused theological virtue. What's a virtue? Well, natural virtues are habits. So if you have honesty or generosity or courage, the reason why is because you're in the habit of being honest. You're in the habit of being courageous. You're in the habit of being generous. You've been generous and honest for so long that you now act that way, just second nature. You don't even have to think about it. That's what we call a virtue, a natural virtue. Faith is not like that, though. Faith is not a natural virtue. Faith is an infused theological virtue together with hope and charity. Faith, hope, charity, infused theological virtues. Unlike natural virtues, you can't cause them to exist, and there's nothing you can do to make them grow. They're entirely gifts from God, and God alone is the one who acts and makes them grow. However, just because there's nothing that you can do to make your faith grow does not mean that there's nothing you can do, because there is one thing that you can do. You can dispose yourself to receive more, as if to say you could clear out a space, right? Make a space. When you dispose yourself to receive more, God does the acting. When he's ready, in the right time, in the right way, according to whatever's best for you, however much you've disposed yourself. But you can dispose yourself. And the way we do that is by acting on what we know. And honestly, it means setting aside your feelings. So let's take a look at these virtues. Let's start with the theological virtue of charity. Is there anybody who wouldn't like more charity? Well, how do you dispose yourself to receive it? Would you believe that if you simply say, "Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you with all my heart." Just by saying that, you have disposed yourself to receive more charity. That's why we should do it all the time. You say, "Well, wait a minute, though. I don't feel anything." Forget about your feelings, honestly. When it comes to the spiritual life, we pay way too much attention to our feelings. The question that's operative is, what are you choosing when you say that? Lord, I love you with all my heart. And people will say, well, but the trouble is I don't love God with all my heart, right? I mean, when it comes to temptation, I just crumble. I'm like a moral peanut brittle. I just snap. Would you believe it doesn't even matter that you're speaking the honest truth when you say those words? Don't be shocked. What matters is that you want those words to be true. That's how you dispose yourself. Now listen to this. You might have heard this act of charity before, right? It goes like this. Oh my God, I love you above all things with my whole heart and soul because you are all good and worthy of all love. I love my neighbor as myself for love of you. I forgive all who have injured me, and I ask pardon for all whom I have injured. Do you realize that just by saying those words, I've disposed myself to receive more charity? And just by hearing those words, you've disposed yourself to receive more. Forget about whether it's true. What matters is if you want it to be true. God will do the rest. Let's take a look at hope. Hope is that infused theological virtue by which you know that God will provide everything you need in this life and everything you need to get to heaven. That's hope. People say, I don't have any hope. Church is such a mess. From top to bottom, no hope at all. Government, total dumpster fire. No hope whatsoever. And me, I'm the worst of all. I'd be lucky if I make it to purgatory on the cleanup crew, right? No hope. Dispose yourself to receive hope. You've ever heard this little prayer? It's an act of hope. Listen to me. Oh my God, relying on your infinite goodness and promises, I hope to obtain pardon for my sins, the help of your grace, and life everlasting through the merits of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Redeemer. Just by saying that, I've disposed myself to receive more hope. What matters is that you mean it and that you want it to be true. Let God do the rest. And then, of course, lastly of all, faith. Faith, listen to this. This is an act of faith, okay? Oh my God, I firmly believe that you are one God in three divine persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I believe that your divine Son became man and died for our sins, and that he will come to judge the living and the dead. That's an act of faith. You can say that, or you can simply say, Jesus, I trust in you. Or you can simply say, Lord, you got this, however you want to say it. And it doesn't even matter at that moment if you have that kind of faith. What matters is that you want that kind of faith. If you want it to be true, you dispose yourself to receive it, and God will do the rest. And this is really an important practice of the spiritual life. Our saint for the day, she had this down, St. Francis Xavier Cabrini, first American citizen ever to be canonized. And when it comes to being born with lots of gifts, well, she didn't get very many of them. She wasn't dealt much of a hand in life, but she played every card. She was sick her entire life. Born premature, and one of the consequences of being born premature, she was sick her entire life. An immigrant from Italy, she never learned to speak English, right? But she gave God everything that she had, and God did the rest. An extraordinary life. She founded hospitals and schools all across the country. New York, Philadelphia, Chicago, New Orleans, Denver, Seattle, L.A., coast to coast. Not bad for a sickly, elderly lady who never even learned how to speak English. She did what she could. She let God do the rest. And that, brothers and sisters, that is how we grow in faith, in hope, and in love. Let's dispose ourselves now, starting right now, and ask for the prayers of the saints to help us. St. Francis Xavier Cabrini, pray for us.